some sort. It just wouldn't be Sunday. But a happy Father's Day to everyone, especially those of us who are privileged enough to be fathers. It's definitely a special day for all of us, and I want to also give a few shout-outs. One is that I want to definitely give a special welcome back to Ben. He's been traveling abroad, serving and working out in the field, and I want to say welcome back to him. Thank you. You've brought back all the technical glitches with you. Since you've been gone, we haven't had any problems, right, church? This is all on him. All right. All right, he knows it's not true. He knows it's not true. So that's number one. Also, I'd like to give a couple other shout-outs. You know, in the Bible where it talks about how if your brother sins against you, you go and you show him his fault. If he doesn't see it, then you take some others with you. And if they still don't see it, you take it to the elders. And after that, you got to bring it to the church. Well, yesterday, I had to show Levita her faults, how she hurt me. Levita said, "I'm not coming to church if you're going to get up there and preach for an hour." And I said, "Well, it's Father's Day. It's my day. I'm a father. I can preach as long as I want to." And so she decided not to show up. In all seriousness, definitely we want to be praying for her. She's not feeling well. Thank you. I appreciate that. See, only on Father's Day. But definitely want to be praying for her. She's been a little bit under the weather the past few days. I kid with her. She loves me. But as we continue on our theme of spiritual investing spiritually, I want us to think about the past few weeks we've talked about investing the way that God would have us invest. We've talked about how we invest in such a way that we want to be those who, as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Christ, that we make good on what it is that God has entrusted us with. That we don't simply squander it or waste it away or ignore it, but that we actually make good on this investment. And with it being Father's Day, I thought it was appropriate that we talk about it from the standpoint of an inheritance. Now, everybody doesn't get an inheritance when their father passes along. Some of us, we ended up bearing, the debt, or it could be any number of things. But when we think about it from the standpoint of God, and as we talked about in 2 Timothy, where he talks about that deposit that he made in us with the gospel, I want us to look at it from the standpoint of a father on Father's Day. And in order for us to really have a full appreciation of that investment, of that deposit that God has given us, we also have to take a step back and think about the nature of our Heavenly Father, the nature of this God who's given us this thing. And so the title of the sermon, "Who's Your Daddy?" Who's your daddy? Now, we've talked about this from the standpoint of investing, and when you think about getting an inheritance, when you think about getting things, I want us to look at some different examples in the scriptures that we can see of how investing went right and how investing went wrong. Those who took the investment, that deposit, that thing that God entrusted us with, and they went full force, they went out there and they made good on that investment, and those who didn't. But I want us to start in looking at the nature of our Father. See, those of us, whether you had a great relationship with your dad, maybe you had a challenged relationship with dad, maybe you went through a phase where you didn't talk to your dad much, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, "I miss my dad. I haven't talked to him in years." Maybe you're like one of mine and you say, "I want to sit with you." And I'm like, "No, you can't sit with me because I'm about to stand up." Like, we have all these different backgrounds and all these different aspects of how we view our fathers. Some of us more intimate than others, but it's important when it comes to God our Father. And that's kind of been the thing. That's why we've been singing these songs about God our Father. I want us to take a step back and understand and appreciate the nature of who our Father in heaven is. In Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 30, it says, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Now, this is obviously in Acts. They're reminding them of this story, reminding them of this situation that Moses went through when he saw the burning bush. And he's thinking, well, who is this? You know, what is this thing going on with this burning bush? And he trembled when he recognized what it was. And I think about how, like, when my dad calls, when I was little anyway, I used to tremble. And I knew the difference in the tone of his voice when it was time to tremble or when it was time to be happy, because I had that familiarity with my dad. You know, I knew the different influx and the different tone and the different things. Like, even now, if my dad calls, which he's not going to call, he's going to wait for the grandkids to call today. But when I talked to him a couple days ago, getting some bowling tips, like, when he answers the phone, I can tell whether or not he's happy. I can tell whether or not he's kind of in a bad mood or if he's, like, in a hurry, you know. And I was thinking about how it took so long for me to understand because, frankly, the longer I lived and the more I grew up, it was difficult for me sometimes to understand the nature of who my dad was. It was difficult sometimes because my dad, he wasn't the, you know, he was a little bit like I am. He doesn't smile all the time. He's not the happiest looking guy. And so sometimes I'd be thinking, is he happy? You know, I wonder how he's feeling, you know, because he could be a little bit stoic. And yet, the more I grew close to him, the better I understood him. And the same thing works in our relationship with God. But we have to sometimes, before we go into how we're going to go out and make good on that investment, how we're going to go out and sow those seeds, how we're going to go out and be the tools that God uses to carry his message, sometimes it's important that we step back and ask ourselves, do we actually understand the nature of God? And what I mean by that is, do we even know when it's time to tremble? Do we even recognize the voice of God when he's trying to cheer us up or when he's trying to admonish us? When he wants to give us instruction, can we hear him clearly? You know, we talked about a lot about that with the Holy Spirit series that we went through. And I think about even like how my own kids, it was so funny. I didn't put the slides up, and I probably should have. My son did this thing right before school ended where they asked him to fill out things about his dad, right? And he was like, oh, yeah, his favorite color is red. And, you know, my dad, where they said, my dad works at, and he says, at the church. And he says, and this is hilarious, he says, you know, when we have, what do you and your dad do? We like to have fun. We play games. And he's talking about how we play on the PlayStation. But the funniest one was when he said, what my dad doesn't like, he said, to have to repeat himself. And I thought, he nailed it. And the thing is, I never had to tell him, you know what? No, I don't feel like repeating myself. But apparently he got the message because slowly but surely he figured out the nature of his dad. It's like, look, I'm not going to keep saying this. I'm tired of this. And it was interesting, too, because Kendall, she did this thing where she filled out, it was a one-liner, right? And they were like, you know, tell me something great about your dad or what it is you love about your dad, right? And her line was, because it was, why do you love your dad? That's what it was. And all the kids had their little thing. Oh, you know, because my dad, he plays with me, he takes me out, and we have fun, all that stuff. Kendall said, because my dad's going to give me a puppy. I think, with a question mark on the end, right? Which, again, shows that she still understands the nature of her dad, because it's like, I think he is. Like, I don't know. See, the thing is, when we think about investing in going forward, doing the work of our father, it's important that we understand the nature of who our father is. And in Genesis chapter 28, we see another great example of this, because what we see in this with Jacob is only a portion, but it sets the tone. It lays the foundation for who we have to understand our father to be. Starting in verse 10, it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples of earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. We see a God here who's making a grand statement. He's making a promise. And, you know, if we go a few chapters into Genesis in chapter 32, we see where eventually Jacob comes back to this place many years later. And he realizes God did exactly what he said. But what's even more amazing than just the fact that God did what he said and he kept his promises and he blessed him, it's why he blessed him so much. Because Jacob wasn't a saint. He wasn't the most righteous person. And sometimes we can think to ourselves, well, why would God work in my life? Why would he bless me? You know, why would he want to do these things for me? And it's the same reason why, as fathers, we want to make sure that our kids have the best. We want to give them as much as we can, because it's not just for them, but they carry our name. You know, it was a story. My dad, he suffers from selective amnesia. Now, as he's gotten a little bit older, some of it, I'm willing to concede that maybe he did forget. Some of this stuff, he's just like, hey, man, I'm old. And he'll just throw that out there like, I'm old, I don't remember it. I remember one time, and I was sharing this with Curtis the other day, how my dad, I was playing baseball at the time. I was probably about 10 years old. And I said, Dad, so what do you want me to do today? I was getting ready to go to a baseball game. And I said, you want me to hit a home run? You want me to steal a base? You want me to, you know, see if I can pitch? Like, what do you want me to do? And his response, while it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, this was actually kind of how my dad was. He says, son, just don't go out and embarrass me. He said, just don't go. And it was like, seriously? You know, I was like, really? But he was joking. You know, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. He was just being fun with it. But in all honesty, when we think about how God is, see, we have a lot of times disappointments, and we know that we fail. We know that we're human. But we have a God that says, I just want you to respect and carry my name out there for others to see how great a God I really am, how great a father I really am. See, his nature is not one where, you know, he's going to burden us with a bunch of things. And we're going to look at that in just a second, how we have to understand this about our God. But he wants to provide things for us. He wants to give us the tools. He, just like I want to make sure that my kids have nice shoes and nice clothes, and make sure that, you know, as they get older, we want to make sure, my wife, we're planning and doing financial planning, and want to make sure that we have enough money for them to be able to go to school and go to college. We want to make sure that they're able, you know, when they do get to the point where they're driving, I want them to be in a safe, decent car, you know. A lot of new parents, you know, you want to make sure they got the best baby bottle. You know, we spent a lot of money on bottles when our kids were little. There were these specialty ones my wife had to have called Dr. Brown. because they reduce the amount of, see, somebody's nodding, you understand, because it reduces the amount of gas and the burping and all this kind of stuff. And it's beautiful to have mothers, too. You had your day earlier, but it's beautiful because us as fathers, we definitely need help. And I think about how a lot of times we just as fathers want to give whatever is necessary to help our children to grow and to thrive and to prosper. Because the one thing, and I remember I was talking to a therapist years ago because I was in a strange situation. I was struggling in my relationship with my actual father. And we talked a lot about, I spent a lot of sessions talking to her about my parents. And one of the things she told me, she said, you know, fathers aren't perfect. You'll know this when you have kids. They're going to make mistakes. No matter how hard you try, she said, but the one thing that your father gave you was a good name. Your father was a hard worker. Your father was responsible. Your father had a great reputation. He was generous. He loves people. And it was important for me to step back and realize that she was correct. My father did give me a good name. You know, there was no reason for me to walk around in shame or have to hide, or I was afraid to tell people what my last name was. My father made the name Craig mean something. And I say that only because when we step back and think about the nature of our Father in heaven, when somebody says Christian, when somebody says follower of God, the way. See, what we have to realize in looking, this is why I went back to the Old Testament and looking at this, because as they go and they say, the God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. See, our Father gives us a great name, you know? And, you know, just like we have some siblings that aren't always the best, you know, everybody's not going to go out and be great examples of who their father is. Like I said, my father, he was kind of joking, but he said, hey, you know what? Don't embarrass me. And ultimately, we carry our father's name when we go out to our jobs, when we go to our workplaces. And I'm thinking, you know, this is my dad. This is like my favorite picture of me and my dad when I was two. And it's fascinating. I showed this picture to William, and he's looking, and I'm like, you know who this is? He said, yeah, that's Grandpa. I said, you see who he's with? And I'm like, you know, I'll beam with friends. He's like, that's me. I'm like, no, that's not you. He was like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, no, that's your father, you know? And I think about how, as I look through pictures and I go back and I think about those good memories I have with my dad, I think about how I want to create those with my kids. See, I get to be the patriarch. Just like Jacob was able to follow in Isaac's footsteps and follow in Abraham's footsteps, you know, that legacy carries on. You know, my son, at some point, when people think of the patriarch of the Craig family, they're going to think of him. They're not going to think of me. They're not going to think of his grandfather. And we have to have the same attitude when it comes to our Father in heaven. Now, I'm going to share this with you because this is like proud daddy moment number one. Like, this is the best. I hope it comes up. This right here is the little one that you hear in the back who's still talking, even though I'm talking. That's Kendall. That's Kendall when she was born in the hospital. And she was making noise from day one. And this right here, and for whatever reason the videos aren't playing, but this is a proud papa moment because while you can't see it, this is William's first book that he read to me. This is him reading about Elmo and how he's going through, and I'm reading, and as he's reading, I'm going back and I'm reciting it, and I'm saying, no, son, you know, correct this word or do this, you know. And it's like, he was so proud to be able to read to his dad. And the pride that I had as his father. See, sometimes we lose sight of that when it comes to God and how proud of us he really is. If we go and we look at Matthew chapter 25, we see, going back to this theme of investments, how there were several people who were given this opportunity to go out and do this thing for their master, and one of them clearly didn't understand the nature of his master. Starting in verse 24 of chapter 25, it says, "Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, when we think about what we just read there, and most of us understand it, we've read probably numerous times about the parable of the talents or the bags of gold. One of the things to understand is that the reason why it was so detestable and so upsetting that the person refused to go out and make good by making that money that was given to him is two things. One, he didn't understand the value of what he was given. He didn't understand that he was entrusted with so much. And it wasn't just, "I'm sending you out here to make me more money." It was, "I'm sending you out here with my money because I believe in you. I have faith in you. I trust you." See, we've been given the gospel. We've been given the word. We've been given the understanding. And when we don't go out and put it to work, we're just like him. We're just like him in that we haven't put it to work. We haven't grown that investment. We haven't taken that deposit and put it to good use. We hide it away. What does he say? He said, "I was afraid. I knew that you were a hard man. I knew that you reap where you had not sown and scattered seeds." See, a lot of times we can have this idea of, well, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to go out here and put myself in a compromising situation or embarrass myself. I don't want to do these things. So I'm going to sit on the word. I'm going to hide the word. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not really going to go out and make this investment into something. And yet when we look at this passage, when we see the scripture, it's like, man, how could you take that? You know, and you know, scholars have talked about, well, what exactly was that bag of gold? How much was that worth? And what most have come up with is that it's roughly 20 years' wages for a laborer. So you take whatever that is, and if we did by today's and society standards today, then you're talking about over $500,000. Now, if I give you $500,000 and I go away and I say when I come back years later and I expect that you're going to put it to good use, he said, at least, even though back then in their culture and their society, it was not considered something favorable to give your money to a banker. You know, they didn't want, you know, the Jews, they didn't want to put their money in banks like that. But he said, at the very least, you could have done that. You would have at least done something. Because the other two, they went out, he took his five and he turned it into 10. He took his two and turned it into four. How much can we say that we've taken the investment that God has given us and we've made good on it? Are we afraid? Have we been afraid? You know, we think about what is it about our Father, understanding his nature. What is it that makes him so good? He's faithful. He's faithful to us. He's demonstrated how faithful he is to us at every turn. Even when we sometimes don't understand it, even when we sometimes don't always see it. He disciplines us. He challenges us. He doesn't just let us go on our way, but he actually takes the time to not just give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. It's like, you know, my kids don't always think it's loving when Kendall wants to eat all the Starbursts in the bag and I don't let her have it. But I love her, and therefore I'm going to stop her from taking everything that she wants because I know what's best for her. I know that it's not good for her to do it. I know that when my son does something wrong, my daughter does something wrong, that I should discipline them. I don't love them if I don't discipline them. And in the same way, God disciplines us. He is a loving God. He has demonstrated his love, his compassion, his care for us. He's merciful. See, we make mistakes, and I see this all the time, even with my own kids, where, you know, they want to make sure, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. And Kendall, sometimes she takes it really hard, you know. She's like, I don't want Daddy to be mad at me, you know. And I think about how we are with God, and it's like, if I can be merciful to my kids, how much more should I be able to step back and think about how God has been merciful to me? Because he has. He's just. And, you know, justice matters, especially when you have multiple kids, because they want to make sure that you're treating them fairly and one's not getting more than the other and that kind of thing. But we serve a just God. We have a Father that takes care of us, and he's not, even though sometimes it may not feel like it, may not seem like it. See, all of these things, and there's plenty more to choose from and look at and, you know, point out. But when we think about the investment that we have from God, we have to really ask ourselves, do we know what it is that we bought into? When we said Jesus is Lord, when we committed to him, do we really understand the family business? You know, do we understand this franchise that we're running? Do we understand what it is? And the person, the God, the entity that is over us, the God that we serve. I think about how sometimes, like, and this just happened when I was cutting the grass the other day, and William comes down, he says, I was scared. And I said, what were you scared about? He said, because I didn't see you. I said, well, son, I was just outside cutting the grass. He said, I wanted to make sure you didn't leave. I think about Kendall and how sometimes Kendall will say, you know, not just the puppy, but other things. She'll say, well, Daddy, you said on Saturday we're going to do thus and so. You said when we got back from school. And see, sometimes I can count on William to forget because he'll get busy. He'll be thinking about other things, right? Kendall will not forget. Kendall will hold me to it. If I tell her that I'm going to be done with this sermon at 15 minutes after 12, guess what? In 5 minutes, she will come up here. She doesn't care who sees her. And she will say, hey, Daddy, you said you were going to be done. Like, she understands the nature of our Father. And yet, as they're learning me, as they're learning their mom, as they're learning other people, it's important that we, like children, step back and appreciate and learn who this God is. Who is our Father in heaven? Because sometimes we can step back and think, well, he's not listening to me when I'm praying to him. Well, if you think that, you don't understand the nature and the character and the personality of the God that you serve. Well, he's going to be mad at me because I failed. Well, yes, he wants you to repent, but he is also a gracious and merciful God. And if you think that everything is punishment and gloom and doom, well, maybe that's because you don't understand who your Father really is. See, there's all these misconceptions that if we're not careful and we don't step back and think about it, we'll be afraid to invest. We'll be afraid to go out there and make good on that deposit, make good on that thing which God invested in us, because we'll be afraid or we'll feel insecure. It's important that we take a step back and understand who our Father is. You know, just a side note, and I don't want to go too far off into this, but it can often be troubling when you think of your Father and compare it to your Father in heaven, because if you had a father who may have been harsh or a father who wasn't responsible or a father who didn't show love and concern, oftentimes it can be hard to reconcile with this is who my father was in real life, and this is who my heavenly father is. And that's why it's important that we don't allow ourselves to stop at the limitations of our fathers. That's why it was so important when he goes to Jacob, when he goes to Moses, and he points out, I'm the God of your fathers. Because, you know, Moses might sit back and think, well, I heard some things about Abraham. Or Jacob wasn't always the best. You know, we're going to have imperfect fathers here on earth. But our Father in heaven is perfect. And we have to constantly recalibrate and reboot our system and refocus on how great our God is so that we can go out and make good on that investment and get a return, share with others, and point it out. And so just to sum all this up, just a few questions that I want us to think about. Is the God that you have faith in the same as the God that you see in the Bible? You know, a lot of times you can, you know, with, and I remember I would hear stories about my dad, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know him. I don't recognize him, or wow, he, and it wasn't necessarily it was bad. It was just that I remember, like, for example, my dad retired. They told me how great a serviceman he was. And I was thinking, well, man, I didn't know these things. And so it's important that we understand that the same God that did all the amazing things that we read about in the scriptures, the same God who is working in someone else's life, it's the same God that you serve, the same God that wants you to love him and commune with him and be with him. They're not two different people. They're the same God. We have to have faith in that. Do you see the ways that God has been faithful to you in your life? Is the God that you serve fair? You know, the reason why that servant who didn't want to go, he didn't feel like his God, he didn't feel like his master was fair. See, he was so consumed and caught up on the fact that he was going to have to work and go make his money, he didn't understand that it wasn't a burden and a duty that he was being given. It wasn't just a task. It was a blessing. We are blessed to be able to be called because everybody can't hear God's voice. Everybody is not in tune to what it is that God wants for them. It is a blessing to be able to go out and make good on the investment that God has given us, on that deposit. But do we understand it to be fair, or are we looking at it from the lens of feeling slighted or feeling like, why do I have to be the one who's the bigger man? Why do I have to be the one who serves? Why do I have to be the one who forgives? Instead of seeing that because of the God that you have, you are able to do just that. Have you represented the name of God well? Is your life a representation of the family's good name? A lot of times, it's easy for us to look out at others and point the finger and say, well, that person claims to be a Christian, but they're not acting like one. They're not behaving like one. Or you can sit back and you can do a comparative analysis and feel like, well, I'm doing better than this. But we have to ask ourselves, when we step out there into the world, when we go to our various different places, when we're at home even and we're around our family, our spouses, our children, our parents, whoever it is, are we carrying the name of God in a way that would make him proud? Are we carrying and putting forward and projecting and loving and serving the way that God would say, that's my boy, that's my girl? Is that the God, do we understand the magnitude of what we represent? Everybody hasn't been sown the same seeds. Everybody hasn't received the word. See, all three of those servants received and were entrusted with that money from their master. But all of them didn't go out and do good with it. Are we doing good and continuing the great name that we have through our family, through our Father in heaven? And are you seeking to make the franchise, and I put in parentheses our congregation, but the church as a whole? Are we seeking to make the franchise grow based on name recognition? Are you actually willing to go and do the work? See, a lot of times when it comes to, and I use the example of a franchise because, you know, the name kind of sells itself. You know, that's the beauty of the parable that we read. You know, it's not that hard to tell somebody about hope and about forgiveness and about peace and about love. It sells itself. But we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to go out there and put forward the name, not just the church, but are we willing to say, it's not just a name on the front of the building, it's not just a moniker or something that we go by, but I'm willing to go out and do the work of setting the example, not saying, hey, come to the Dover Church of Christ with me, or you should come to my Bible study, or do you want to pray, but to actually live in such a way that people say, who's your daddy? Where are you from? Where do you live? Tell me about what you're doing. Are we willing to put in the work? Because that's the hard part. When the master's away, when the master's not overseeing you, when he's not actively telling you what to do, but when you're out, when you're living your life, are you willing to put forth the work in refining your character and being willing to be rejected and being willing to sometimes be ignored or whatever may come with it? Are you willing to do the work that comes with that investment? If you have not taken on the call, if you have not accepted your rightful place in being one of God's children, it's Father's Day. What a great time for you to say, you know what? I'm going to accept what my Father has given me. I'm going to accept the investment that he's given me. I'm going to take what he's given me, and I'm going to make good on it today. I'm going to make good on it because I'm going to commit to him today. If you have never accepted Jesus, if you've never accepted forgiveness, if you've never chosen that I'm going to be and live as one of God's children, I implore of you, I ask you, I beg you, do not leave today without taking the opportunity to accept him. We ask you to come forward. We'll pray with you. We're a church. We want to teach you. We want to help you in any way we can. Because, you know, as the saying goes, we're all God's children. But just like we see with the parable of talents, everybody isn't willing to do what a good son or daughter would. And we want to help anybody and everybody who wants to be that good son or daughter to do just that. We want you to come forward today. If you feel like I still want to get some help, yes, I've accepted Christ, yes, I know who God is, but I want to do better. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to just sit back and be in fear of making a mistake or being in fear that I don't live up to the name, but I want help in living up to the name. If you just want the church to pray for you, if you need to seek some counsel, we ask you to come forward as well. But as we think about Father's Day, and we're going to all go from here, and as my friend Andre said, you know it's coming up on Father's Day when you start walking into all the department stores and Walmarts and Targets, and it's like all the ties are up front, you know. It's Father's Day when all the ties are up front, right? And I don't want us to walk away from here just thinking about, well, it's another time to give my dad a tie, or it's another time for me to just take a moment to think about my dad, but I want us to think about who our Father is. Understanding him, growing close to him so that we can be better at being the great sons and daughters that he clearly trusts us and believes that we can be. If you want to accept him today, we ask you to come forward as we sing our song of invitation.